You listen to me? To say something with Yassi Koti on the Busted Free Radio.
Direct advice, because artists, in, you know, put their own world into the world, and I think in some kind of way it's very important to follow their own arch and path. And I think, you know, one of the things which one can certainly say is it's very, very, very important, I think, to find not only their own spaces and their own circuits, but also find their own temporality and not let themselves dictate, you know, space and time, you know, by the outside world or by the, you know, context of exhibitions, sort of, you know. So I think this idea of finding their own space and time. Then I think, you know, in terms of reading and writing, I mean, I think there is one author I always recommend to, you know, to art students to read. It is Edouard Glissant, because I think Edouard Glissant is more than just a mere quote. I think Glissant is a real toolbox for the 21st century. So the advice could also be read Edouard Glissant.
Thank you, Hans Obrecht, contemporary art curator, as he gives the advice to the young curators out there. Today is the year of the curator. In today's art world, you are nothing unless you are an art curatorial fellow or lady. And if you are an artist, you will never make it in today's year of the curator unless you know the curators for you. Better yet, if your art is unsuccessful and you want to be in the so-called limelight, I suggest you make your hair blonde or grow a beard and become a curatorial fellow or pretty blonde curatorial lady. Because right now, those people are what makes a difference in the world for those who matter the most.
He's dressed as a guru or godman, and inevitably the local villagers respectfully bow down at his feet. With his bodyguards at his side, he's about to demonstrate his magical, supernatural powers of healing. But such magic costs money, and these people will have to pay. First, he makes holy ash out of thin air and distributes it to the faithful. Next, he uses his powers to make a banknote from nothing and simply gives it away. Then it's holy water. It must be holy, because even when the jug is empty, the Godman simply blesses it and makes some more. Such miracles naturally impress everybody, though one man is particularly interested, especially in what happens next.
And what will happen next? He will curate many artists into a big show, and all the people, they will love him again.
Today, I'll be speaking with Michael Darling, Chief Curator of the Museum of Contemporary Art.
Fear no art or curator, my friend.
Michael, thank you for meeting with me. I've been wanting to speak with you ever since I came to the museum a couple weeks ago and I saw Pandora's Box, Joseph Cornell unlocks the MCA collection.
Everybody wants to talk to curators.
We have a lot of galleries as we talk, but I think it was a show that really had multiple agendas in mind. I mean, I wanted to, on the one hand,
show how an artist
like Joseph Cornell, who was active in the 30s and the 40s,
is still relevant to artists today and still relevant
to our artistic dialogue today. I also thought that there were lots of interesting connections to be made between Cornell's work and other things in our MCA collection.
Let us
listen. We are in front of an Andy Warhol. Please tell me, why is this one of your favorite pieces?
This is one of those fantastic teaching tools that we have at our disposal here at the MCA. It's a 1962 Andy Warhol called Troy Diptych. And the thing that I like about it is the image of Troy is kind of repeated over and over and over again. You can see it silk screened on there. So it has this sense of kind of a mechanical reproduction that's going on and on and on, which at the time, you know, I think alluded to a growing kind of media society. But nowadays, it's just as relevant, if not more so. And I think even today, you know, if you were to substitute Kim Kardashian in here for Troy Donahue, you get the sense of, why is this person sort of showing up in every tabloid, every magazine? And there's something neat about how this degrades, too. Like, you have some nice clear images, but then there'll be too much ink. And you get the sense almost of this image or this idea wearing out almost.
Bad Xerox copy.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, in 1962, it's pretty amazing to think that Warhol was already tapped into this idea that now has become a defining factor in our culture.
Yes. That was 1962. And now it's 2012. What does that tell you? It tells you that curators are powerful. They can keep you alive when you are dead. And everybody agrees with what curatorial figures have to say. All of them, in my experience, just nod their heads and smile and agree. Let us see Jerry Schultz.
Hi, I'm Jerry Schultz. I'm the senior art critic for New York Magazine. And today I want to show you some of my favorite paintings in all of New York in a number of museums. So come with me into this unbelievable buried treasure that's right under our noses all the time.
Yes.
Come on.
Come on.
Take a look at this Cubo futuristic masterpiece, 1911 by Kazimir Malevich. The painting is the last second before figuration sort of rattles itself to the bones and turns into abstraction. These kind of robot peasants outfitted as triangles, wearing sort of metallic cones. You can see Malevich painting a quintessential Russian scene. Watch space sort of turn into this kind of weird lens. Here's two or three homes, a tree. Look at this figure here, pulling
art
a sled.
Terms that are
really
too confusing to
painting.
Understand.
Have a ball, because it can just swirl you around like a washing machine.
Unseen. Curators have been crowned king and queen of the art world. have taken over top spots of the most powerful people. It's been a few years since Damien Hirst made the top Power 100 list, but now, embarrassing, he's dropped like a stone to maybe the 60th place, and his top slot has been taken over by Hans Andres Obrus, a Swiss-born art critic slash curator. Why is this happening? You can call me at any time. My number is 617-454-4237. Oh, I have just received a Facebook message from Jerry Saltz, and he says, I am at my Facebook friend limit. I think I have my Facebook page set so that anyone may see and comment. Please jump on in and participate often. Jerry. Oh, I want to thank you, Jerry Saltz, for responding back to me. Maybe when one of your friends slots opened, we can be friends on Facebook as well. And you can see everything that I update and comment on. This Jerry Saltz, he's a very, very nice guy. Let us hear him speaking at the Contemporary Art Museum in St. Louis.
Best introduction of me I've ever heard.
Thank you.
I like it so much that I even started to like me.
Yes, you should like
you. I love me, but it's hard to like... Each of us loves you, and then it's hard to like yourself.
Yes.
I'm really touched by that.
Thank you.
Are any of you in this room my Facebook friends? Raise your hand. There's one nice Wendy's there.
Yes.
Eva, of course. Buzz Spector, Paul. Yay. And you guys in the back, no. Paul is right. I am at a 5,000-person limit, but there's little wiggle room. You might want to send a message that says, friend me. And the reason I say that is I'll probably just click yes. You don't have to say anything witty. Because I accidentally did start this conversation on Facebook. You do most things we do, I think we do by accident. You go looking for one thing, and something else finds you. Do you know what I mean? Artists, let me ask you this. Can you pick exactly what you do? Can you choose your style? Can you, of course, you're the one that kind of decided I will be a painter.
Yes.
I will make abstract paintings, I suppose. You can decide that. But the more you're around art, I think the more you realize that art is stranger than that. You don't choose it. I hate to say something so kind of new age, hocus pocus,
yes,
but in many ways, your art is using you to make it.
All the time. Yes.
I think art is a cosmic force.
Yes,
do I sound just like a hippie now? I think art... Oh, here's my notes. You know, I thought, can I talk about cosmic forces without a note? Whatever. I think art... Well, let me ask you this. Can art change the world?
I don't know.
Yes, yes, yes.
I can only...
Okay,
hope.
Now, that was kind of a trick question. Can art stop the spread of AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa? Can art... It can?
Little wise guy.
With advertising. Okay.
Advertising.
can art cure famine and stop drought? Well, not drought. Drought's a natural thing. That we could, we don't know. I guess what I'm saying is I think that art, the answer to my question, can art change the world, to me is yes and no. That art is part of a universal force, a cosmic force, that does change the world by osmosis, which is in a way like your advertising thing, and incrementally, over time. Every once in a great while, you can be around, and some people in this room may have feel like they've witnessed it. I do feel like they've witnessed the train of art history suddenly leaping off the tracks. Boom! And landing on another track and going in another direction. Can you name me a time in American art when that may have happened? 1960? I think I'm with you. And what was its name? Its name was pop art. You don't have to love pop art. It's not an easy art to love. It's an easy one to get kind of enraptured with, sleep with for a night, you know, wake up the next morning and go, what am I doing here?
Yes.
I love the way it smiled. No. Is this bad in St. Louis? No. With Andy Warhol. Suddenly, I think you have the train, not with Johns and Rauschenberg so much, as that is the last 100th of a millinanosecond of European art history in them. You can still feel the fracture of the hand, the surface, the authority even of the brush. But with Andy Warhol, like him or hate him, it doesn't matter to me, the train of art history suddenly leaps off the tracks, doesn't it? And you have, what are Warhol's real inventions? If you think about it, Jackson Pollock took something that had been there since the beginning.
Yes, been there and done that.
The drip. The drip. We laugh, but it was on the cave wall. And you know how the cave painters got it up there? They spit. Now, you are an artist, aren't you? Yeah, they did that. You baby artists. Little tough love, I'm sorry. You baby artists, I love you, but the painters in the room, most paintings are square or rectangle. They're painted on something we call canvas. You never think about, by the way, the fact that canvas is the material that was used to wrap the dead for 5,000 years, and it therefore is imbued with an extraordinary content. I love you. A little tough love. You don't think about that most of the paintings put on canvas for 5,000 years in Egypt, by the way, or stone or walls, were never meant to be seen by human eyes. Were they? They were meant to be seen in the afterlife and the underworld by the gods. Maybe it's God's fault. You know, in the Judeo-Christian thing, I think that the second commandment, or the fourth, you tell me, is this one. Thou shalt not have any other god. I forget, you know, I don't know what version I'm using because I'm Jewish. Craven, or is it Craven? Thank you. Thou shalt have no gods before me, because I, thy Lord, your God, am a jealous God. First of all,
yes, the jealous god. Maybe that is how curators came to be. Let us go over the list of famous male curators that you need to know. Number one. A.A. Bronson. Number two, Adam Carr. Number three, Aldo Mazzola. He might be dead, probably. Oh yes, yes, never mind. You don't need to know him anymore. number 4, Alan Marquand. Unfortunately, he passed away as well. Here is another one. Anthony Blunt. He has also recently passed away in 1983. There's also author Everett Austin Jr. Unfortunately, he's dead as well. And Bernard Fagg, he's dead. Bruce Heiser, he is still alive. He is a curator and a gallery director of the Heiser Gallery in Austria. About Berman Mayfito, that is a good one to know. Carl Alexander Dixon Hill, unfortunately he's dead, but there's always a Carl Friedman. He should still be alive. And there's Charles Holroyd. Unfortunately, he passed away. And Charles Trick Curley is dead too. Ah, but there's Chris Anderson. He's the curator of TED, those TED TVs. There is also Claire Spice. He's dead, unfortunately. And Claude Phillips. Another dead one. There's also Danny Lisi. He is alive and well. And David Elliott. That man is definitely alive. There's also Clayton Colvin. He is alive. David Moose. He's pretty alive too. And there's the Clan McGongle. Edward Banks, but he's dead. Eric Mockelberg is dead. Fritz Roy Carlton, he's dead. I'm sorry. We need to update our curatorial fellows list. Well, there is also Alex Shaw. She is alive. She's an LA-based curator and writer. You can always contact her. She's a female curator. There is Catherine Millett, Doris Chalbot. Unfortunately, she's passed away too. Dorothy Miller, she's passed away just a few years ago. Florence Jacobson. I assume she's passed away as well. There is Julian King. Ingrid Schaffner. Jenny Olson. Kay Roberts. Kathleen Fenwick. Unfortunately passed away. Lisa Steele. Lucy R. Lippard. Oh, and a really famous one, Lynn Cook, Nancy Adajania, Paola Lenti, Ruby S. Watson, Yu Young Kim, she is a very good one as well. You see, I can list all these curators on top of my head. And yet, the artists, who can name all the contemporary artists today? Please call me and let us discuss which is more important, the artist or the curator. Right now it's the curator, unfortunately, for the artist. It leads me to the question, which came first, the curator or the artist? Let us talk to this teenager where she couldn't find a place to exhibit her art and found many others in the same predicament. She launched and became a curator of teen art today. Unfortunately, there are many technical difficulties. You can call me at 617-454-4237. Please, who are your favorite curators in the world today? Is it Jen Merkel? Liz Monsell? Evan Garza? Lynn Cooney? I am waiting here for you.
Go through high school, and that's my only focus. I didn't want that to be my only focus.
This is the Open Center, where this exhibition is opening on July 7th. It features artists age 15 to the old man in the group who just turned 20, and it was organized by a 17-year-old high school student, Audrey Banks, who called every high school in New York and sent the message out to the world on Facebook.
That is a curator name you'll want to remember, Audrey Banks.
Handmade out of a cigar box, and then you have this very traditional figure study, beautifully rendered. Mm-hmm. Do they fit a theme for you?
They just kind of fit the general theme of kids can create, like, very technically well done pieces, as well as ones that seem very sophisticated and well thought out visually and aesthetically. First thing I did was talk to people. Then I sent out the Facebook page. So in total, it's probably like 6,000 kids on the page.
So basically, from beginning to end, Audrey was in charge. And I just feel like if she's an example of what teenagers are like today, I think we're in really good hands.
I first came up with the idea to make this new gallery about 2 years ago, and that was mostly for myself. Over time, I met a lot of people my age as well who were like set on being artists, and really felt like they wanted to take the work they had now and show it now.
So,
Yes.
What did you like about this piece, for instance?
I just thought he really hit the nail on the head with showing that kids, even at 19, can create, like, very technically well done and just very sophisticated artwork, even with a medium as complicated as bronze. Well, this one, my first thought was, how the hell did she take that photograph? Like, where did she find the means to do that? I don't know, there's something really just, it's like a composite, like I really like the composition with just this guy in the middle, and then all these like photographers, and then I just thought it was just very well done.
What do you like about that?
I mean, what's not to like? I mean, Rice Krispies, which I might eat every morning, and putting it into something that's really kind of interesting. I don't know if I have like really a message to get across yet as an artist, but I just know that it's what I really like to do. And to do anything else, I mean, for me right now, it's just unimaginable.
Yes. And that is where you, Audrey Banks, are going to be. A curator. A famous curator. Please, if you're out there, you can call me. Call me with your curatorial fears, your dreams, your hopes. Maybe you have questions. The number is 617-454-4237. We are here to take your calls. We are here for you, the art curators. Those folks who hold the magic key to the hallowed confines of the White Cubes. How do we obtain those keys? How do we become successful?
You know, I've been getting some emails from some of y'all that say, yo, Hennessy, I'm an artist, but I can't get an art show. How do I get an art show? Can you help me out? The reason why you're probably not getting an art show is because you don't know a curator. And curators, they're the motherfuckers that decide, you know, what gets shown in the gallery or at a museum, you know. And knowing a curator and making them want to show your art is really important step in becoming a successful artist.
Yes. Let us answer this call. And, you know, even though we couldn't get an art show, hello, caller. Hello, are you a artist or curator?
Yeah, neither artist nor curator, but I appreciate the roles of both. I think an artist has something to say, and I think a curator has something to say for the artist.
Yes, yes. And how do you feel about that? Hello, caller?
How do I feel about what?
Are you okay, caller?
Yes, I'm fine. I feel fine. How are you?
I am very good, Carter. Thank you for asking. I am golden, as they say. So, do you hold the keys to the coffin of the white confines of the white cube?
Oh.
I think we lost the color. He was afraid of the hollow grave he had built for himself. And he was no Andy Warhol or Jason Pollock, as many curators and critics like to talk about and compare others to. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Yossi. It's me again.
Yes.
I'm afraid we had connection before.
Yes, that was very unfortunate for the pod connection.
Yes, well, what I was saying was artists and curators go hand in hand. Without curators, artists would not really have a place to show.
Yes. Are you saying that the curator are those special people who hold the magic key to the hollow confines of the white cube?
Possibly. I think that might be the artist's role too. But curators are able to travel and see all these different kinds of artists and develop and refine their tastes and show off to the world, you know, what they know through these artists. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
listening to say something with Yasukote. On the Vassen Free Radio. Hello, caller. Hello? I cannot hear you, caller. Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can finally hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you, and I can hear myself, too.
How is that, caller? Is that better?
Well, I could not hear you.
Yes, we were having the technical difficulties. Unfortunately.
Yes, I was saying, what is a radio caller without a host? It's a good analogy for the artist without the curator.
Yes. Then it would just be like watching the real world on MTV.
And that's unwatchable garbage.
Yes.
You are my curator, Yasi. You are able to organize my thoughts into something coherent and meaningful. You curate your radio show every week.
Thank you, caller. I want to thank you for making that analogy and comparison. This is a very... golden thing to say.
But you are also an artist as well.
Yes, I am.
You're both artist and curator.
And I rely heavily on the curators to open the door with their magic keys for me.
That's wonderful. You're the perfect combination of Alpha and Omega.
Thank you.
Tab A and Slot B.
Jazz,
if you get my drift.
Of the chin and tonic, as yeah. They say. As they say.
Well, thank you, Yasi.
And thank you, caller. Thank you.
I hope to talk to you again soon.
I do, have a golden opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to apologize for the technical difficulties. The powers invested in me were not working. But everything happens for a reason. I forget what we were talking about. Oh yes. The curatorials holding the key to the kingdoms. And how, without them, artists would be nothing but the real world on MTV. That is why, in the power list, they have crowned curators as the king and queens of the art world. I know there's a saying for people in the art world. First you are an artist, and then you realize you're not a good artist. So you become a curator because you like other artwork. And if you do not like other people's artwork, you eventually become a critic, so you can say bad stuff about them all the time. Are there any positive critics out there? If there were, they would probably be an artist or a curator. The philosophy behind the world's art is run by networks in which the people who matter most are not always those whose names mean anything outside of the art world. You can call me at 617-454-4237. Let us discuss the year of the curator, because it is a curator's world in the art world. They hold the keys to the gates of heaven, which is an artist's dream. I know there are many other methods of getting your artwork out there, but in the traditional sense of art and gallery, or hence, say, your art is dead, we put it in a museum, there is another world out there. And what matters is what world you happen to be in. And how to play in that world. And how to obtain the keys to unlock the doors. Unless you're like one of those artists who is like locked inside a room, like Henry Darter, drawing many children obsessively and compulsively until you're dead, and then you're landlord comes in and discovers all these boxes with your art in them and gives it to the right people at the right time, and finally you hit the big time. Maybe that is your dream in life. Surely, unfortunately, you will never know once you are dead. And I'm sure there's many other artists out there, like Darger, who don't even get discovered, but have created a world for themselves only, which will never be seen, because they never found the right curator. Or even never stepped a foot outside of their house. I guess it all boils down to is if you want to play the game or not. Or where you're playing the game and what game you're playing. And if you want to hold the keys and feel like you are powerful, because everybody must seek you out and everybody knows who you are, so you can finally accept yourself because others have accepted you, That is a backwards way of living in this world. But it seems to be the way people want the world to run. I cannot say that this way is right, and I cannot say that it's wrong. I can only tell you to be aware of this. Be aware and choose your path. I will read you the names of a power list in full. There is Hans Ulrich Obrist, Glenn D. Lowry, Sir Nicholas Sirota, Daniel Birnbaum, Larry Gagosian, Frankios Binot, Eli Broad, Julieta Aranana, Brian Quanwood, Iwana Blackwicks, Bruce Nauman, Iwan Worth, David Zwergner, Jeff Koons, Jay Joplin, Marinian Goodman, Agnes Gunt, Takashi Murakami, Alfred Bacamente, Fischelli and Weiss, McGilly, Barbara Gladstone, Stephen A. Cohen, Dominique Levy, and Robert Munchkin, Adam D. Weinberg, Mark Lyncher, Brett Gorvey and Amy Capaloso, Topaz Meyer, Shenani Westphal, Anne Philbin, Regis Philbin, Matthew Higgs, Marky Marks, Matthew Marks, Tim Bloom and Jeff Poe, Galvin Brown, Ralph Rogoff, Liam Gillick, Anne Pasternak, Douglas Gioni, John Bottasardi, Isa Jensen, Paul McCarthy, Michael Govan, Eugenio Lopez, Cindy Sherman, Ai Weiwei, Dietrichson, Richard Prince, Damien Hertz, Bernard Arnock, Victor Pinchuk, Otto Gerelman, Marina Abramovic, Michael Ringener, Gerd Richter, Ross Lee Goldberg, Casper Koenig, Monica Spritz, Germano Saliot, Emmanuel Berotin. Peter. I can't even pronounce his last name. I'm not even gonna try. Beatrix Ruff. Nicholas Borariti. Yossi Goldie. Isabel Grar. Charles Sachi. Jerry Saltz. Mura and Don Robel. Thelma Golden. Sarah Morris. Carolyn Christoph. Anita and Bojo Zabluloquicks. Paul Shevemo. Sadie Close. Daniel Butchholz. Victoria Miro. Maureen Bavali. Jonah King. Nicolia Wilder, Maria Lynn, Massimo De Carlo, I can't pronounce that name, Toby Webster, Long March Space, Nicholas Logs, Dial, Henry Blaine and Graham Southerner, Claire Hoos, Peter Nagy, and Glenn Beck. I don't know how Glenn Beck made it on there, but he did. And that was the top 100 power list of the art world. Some of the names I did skip over because I do not know how to say them, unfortunate for them. But now you know. You need to set up now, before it's too late. We are taking the road to nowhere. I want to thank you, Jerry Saltz, for speaking with me today, and also Facebooking me on Facebook. This is the year of the curator. The curator holds the key to your doors, artist. Please, if you are out there, do your research and do your part. Be social. Go to the openings. Talk to the curators. And become their best friends. I want to thank you for listening. And contributing, and I apologize for all of those who I could not get to today. May you be content.